Well, listen, we're going to take a seat for a couple of minutes. Stay in this vein of mountains coming down. You know, has anyone here today ever climbed a mountain? Any mountain climbers? See, nowadays, mountain climbing is a bit of a thing. It's a bit of a thing. It's not my kind of thing, but it's a bit of a thing. Mountains for us, practically, physically, emotionally, are a challenge. They're a challenge for us today. Mountains, we could say, are beyond our normal capability to deal with. Now, if we look in the Word of God today, which of course we're going to look at today, on a high mountain, we find Jesus sometimes on high mountains. Amen. Praise God. Jesus revealed on a high mountain his glory. Praise the Lord. His glory. He revealed that to men. Peter in there, James and John. And then the scripture says, they returned to the disciples, the other disciples, and the crowds, and immediately they're approached by a father who is desperate. Now watch where we're going with this today. His son had epilepsy, and the disciples' prayers did not bring about this young man's healing. Mm-hmm. And in the scripture, Jesus gives some tough love to the crowd before he heals the young man. In Matthew 17, verse 17, Jesus' own words, he says, "You unbelieving and perverse generation," he replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Help us, Lord." Because these words are actually aimed, yes, in the crowd, the disciples, but also the crowds, Israel, the world, but perhaps they're aimed at you and I today. Perhaps they are, because what I see and hear is Jesus' frustration, and we glimpse the grief, the absolute grief the Lord lived with during his time on earth. Understand, this isn't a Jesus who is a tired, hungry man who's letting off some steam here. This was, if anything, a highly restrained expression of the exasperation of Jesus with evil people who don't really know how evil they are. And the disciples here at that moment were counted, believe it or not, among the faithless and the twisted. And I wonder, can we be counted in there also at times? Many translations use the word perverse in Matthew 17. So more accurately, can we perhaps say, regarding our own walk with God today, our lack of faith in God could be the root of all perversity? It could be. But I looked at this during the week and I began to ask myself, and we're coming to the mountain part in a minute, were the disciples really faithless? I had to ask myself that. They had tried to cast out this disease. Now, wasn't that a forum? Or wasn't that a type of faith? Now, perhaps it was. But whatever faith was present, while apparently well-meaning, this particular faith didn't produce any results. It lacked results in this particular moment that is taking place here in Scripture. It didn't put God's glory, it didn't put God's power on display. It didn't proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. Or, for that matter, it didn't help the boy. And it didn't help the father also. And that's why Jesus did not commend their effort. Instead, scripturally, he rebuked their failure. And later, when the disciples privately asked Jesus why they had failed, he simply says in Matthew 17, "Because of your little faith." Because of your little faith. Jesus didn't give them the standard God answer, yes, no, or not yet answer. He didn't speak in here of God's unknowable will in choosing not to answer at the time the disciples asked of him. Jesus here in the Word of God put the blame squarely on the disciples' shoulders. Now watch this. He's more or less saying your ministry failure is due to your little faith. But not every unanswered prayer is a result of little faith, by the way. Let me say that also. But we cannot, church, we cannot let ourselves off the hook too quickly when we don't see prayers answered or when our ministry efforts fail. Yes, our good God. He is sovereign. He is above all the earth. And in this passage, the sovereign God makes a very, very clear statement, and it is simply this: little faith results in ministry failure. Ministry failure. But like all of Jesus' rebukes to the disciples, and if you look through the word of God, hey, there were actually many. This is not intended to condemn us, but it's actually put in there to encourage us to press in. To press in for more, to step in to the more that Jesus has for us. So here's the thing. If we currently have little faith, and we might, the good thing is, therefore, it's possible to have more faith. It's possible to have more faith. Hey, if we failed yesterday, if we failed today, we do not have to continue to fail. Praise God, that we can move on. And here is the word of the Lord that I got for someone during the week. Hear this: little faith is not your permanent label. That is not your permanent label. That's what we buy into. I cannot, it can't be done. That is not your permanent label. In fact, Jesus means it as a catalyst for absolute and total transformation of the child of God. Because Jesus then says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Hey, then he says, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing, listen, nothing in there, nothing will be impossible for you. They are not just empty words. They are powerful, massively important words. And I wondered during the week, I thought about this during the week, would we live differently if we really believed nothing would be impossible for us? Would we look different, act different, be different if we really bought into that Jesus statement in the Word of God? Because here's how I see things, and here's how I live my life, and here's what I believe. I believe, yes, I am created to worship day by day the living God. That is part of my makeup, part of my deal. But I also believe that I'm put here to move mountains that are put before me, to see the impossible occur through the exercise of faith in the omnipotent promises of a God who is sovereign. So here's the thing, church today, and maybe as individuals today, if you and I, listen to this, if you and I are not seeing mountains move from our lives today, I will say this to you: you are living way beneath your means. You're living way beneath your means. We are living in poverty when we have millions in our heavenly bank account. Praise God for that. And Scripture, Jesus does not commend this. He rebukes us. He rebukes it right here in the Word of God. So the faith of God's people, my faith, your faith, the faith of God's people remains the channel through which God chooses to manifest much, if not all, of his glory that results actually in the conversion of unbelievers. So, here's the thing this morning for you and I, as we hear the words of God. If we have little faith, then little glory is seen through us. If we have little faith, then little glory is seen through us, and we can never be satisfied with that. We can never be contented with little flowing through us. But if we recognize that we have little faith, hey, what we must do is this. We must repent, and we must join the disciples in pleading before the mercy of God. God, increase our faith. Increase my faith. And not let go of God until God blesses us with an answer. And the great thing about that request is, that is a request that God loves to grant for every single one of us. So I wonder today, does Jesus really mean that I can move mountains in my life? Is that what it really means? Well, I see this today in my own life. Jesus wants me to live day by day in the bold joy, yes, the bold joy of knowing that nothing will be impossible for us. And I wonder today here at church, has anyone among us got a mountain? And if so, are you ready to confront it today? Are you ready to deal with that mountain in this room today? I wonder, because here's the thing, every single one of us, at one time or another, if not now, we've had to face some mountains, and they've been monster mountains. They've been huge mountains, whether you're young, whether you're old, single, married, widowed, or divorced. Hey, listen to this, you can be saved, redeemed, sanctified, set apart. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can have all those things going on. You can be part of the greatest church in the world. You're sitting in it, by the way. You can be part of all those things. Or, hey, part of some other church, and that's okay. And God bless you for that. But here's the thing. Every one of us have had to face some mountains at some time in our life. And for some of us, it's still there. It's still there. And matter of fact, some of us right now at this very, very critical time of our walk with God may be facing or dealing with some mountains in our lives as I speak. And understand this, we are not immune. Not one of us in the congregation today, we are not immune from facing or dealing with mountains in our lives. But here's the cool thing about the Jesus we serve. The very cool thing about the Jesus we serve, there is sweet, sweet, sweet relief in knowing that no matter what mountain you or I are facing, we can be assured that every single one of these mountains can be removed. Why? Because the God I serve is bigger than every other mountain before me. Every mountain before me. So here's the thing. In other words, what mountain? In other words, the mountains in my life are the mountains in your life. Listen to this. This is crucial to hear that. They are not put in place to control you. They are not put in your life to control you. But by the power of God, you control the mountains. You control the mountains by the power of God. For Jesus has said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Then he says, truly I tell you, if anyone amongst us says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes in what they say will actually happen, it will be done for them. Praise God. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. It will be yours. So here's the thing, church. Here's the thing. The mountain here that Jesus is talking about, when mountains fall, when they come crashing down, here's the deal, that mountain will not take you out. You will stand remaining in the power of God. There'll be debris, dust, chaos, carnage all around you when that mountain comes crumbling down, but you will not fall with it, you will stand. You will stand by the grace of God, because the mountains that Jesus is talking about being removed out of your life are often mountains of obstacles. They're mountains of opposition. They're mountains of problems. They're mountains of difficulties. They're mountains of the setback you had last week. They're mountains of that stumbling block in your life. There's mountains of troubles. There is mountains of burdens and hardships. Hey, for some, you're still in that place where the mountain before you is a mountain of defeat. We heard last week, we're confronted by the mountain of the Goliath of fear. Hey, for some, and I see this all the time, particularly with men, there's that mountain of uncontrolled anger and bitterness. There is the mountains of discouragement and disappointments. For some, it is the mountain of failure that you've been dealing with for years. Do you want to see it come crashing down by the power of God today? Well, trust in God. Then some are wallowing in the mountain of depression and the mountain of sorrow, the mountain of peer pressure. Hey, some of us are stuck in a zone of negative thinking. That is a mountain in your life that you need to pray to God and ask God to remove. There was a mountain of low self-esteem. There's a mountain of sickness or ill health. And for some, you're in a crisis right now, and that is a mountain for you. In other words, the mountain that Jesus was talking about in this particular scripture is anything, absolutely anything, that stops my progress and growth in my walk with Jesus Christ. It is anything that stops you from getting here on a Sunday morning, getting to the prayer meeting, getting to the men's meeting, getting to the women's meeting, getting committed, getting involved. It is anything that prevents you or stops you from worshiping Jesus. It is anything that stops you from serving God with a whole heart. And so the mountain is anything pretty much that keeps you stagnant, stale, going backwards. It keeps you from moving forward into the great things of God. It's anything that keeps your families from having peace and love to rule in their homes. It's anything that keeps husbands and wives from loving each other. It's anything that keeps children from honoring and obeying their parents. Listen, church, Jesus says when you are facing and when you are dealing with some type of mountain in your life, where you're all screwed up and you're all messed up, first of all, Scripture says we must look to heaven. Then we must pray. Then we must have faith in God to help us overcome or deal with that particular mountain. That is, I need to trust God every day. That is, I need to have confidence in God every moment. That is, I need to rely on God right now. I need to believe in and buy into the great things of God. For Jesus has said himself in John 14 verse 1 that when we are facing life's mountain, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And the reason why we should have faith in God and not doubt when we are facing mountains in our lives is because there is not one single mountain that my God cannot handle. Not one at all. Therefore, if I trust in God and do not doubt and speak and say to that mountain to be removed and to be cast into the sea, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. The psalmist said in Psalms 37 verses 3 through 5, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall grant thee or give thee the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. So church, we regarding these mountains, we need to have faith in God. We need to have faith in God. We need to pray to God like never before and not doubting if we want to be able to remove the mountains in our life. But I need to emphasize one thing before we move from here to there. And the one thing is this. Listen to this. You and I, we cannot live life any kind of way and expect the mountains to be moved. We cannot be fueling ourselves up in drugs and expect the mountains to be moved. We cannot be getting out and consumed and drunk in alcohol and expect the mountains to be moved. We cannot be lying, cheating, stealing and expect mountains to be moved in our life. We cannot be mistreating our husband or mistreating our wife. We cannot be providing for our children. Hey, we cannot be messing with someone else's husband and wife and expect the mountains to move. We cannot hold a grudge against someone else and expect that mountain to move. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Mark 11, 25, 26 says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. But we have to notice right here in Mark 11 and verse 23, it does not tell us how fast the mountain will move. It just says that it will move. Trust God and not doubt. Nor does it tell us how it will be removed. The style in which that mountain will be removed, it just tells us that if we have faith in God, we speak to the mountain and not doubt, the mountain will move. Here's the thing, church. We cannot hurry God. when it comes to moving mountains. We cannot do it, nor can we force God to move that mountain in any particular way that suits us in our life. So your mountain may not move today. It may not move tomorrow. It may not move next week or in 1 year. But I guarantee you one thing, it will move. It will move. God may move your mountain all at once, friends. He may. Or he may move your mountain piece by piece, little by little, break it down. The encouragement is this: just know that your mountain will be moved out of the way from your life. We have to understand as a church today that God will work his way. He will work in his time and in his own way. But yet, if we choose to trust God and speak to your mountain, ask your mountain to be removed and not doubt, and believe God is able to move that mountain out of the way, the scripture says it will come to pass. Would you stand with me this morning, dear church? Just close your eyes and open your heart. Open your heart to God right now. Just open your heart. Don't shut off. You know, God showed me a picture, and Lorraine confirmed it through a picture she got today, that the spirit of pride would envelop the church. And people would not respond because they think, hey, why do you need to stand at an altar? Though some people make up their mind in life, I don't need to stand at an altar. If you look at the Bible, every great man of God fell on his face before an altar. The altar of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And you might even be here, what scripture says, doubting that anything can happen for you today in your life. This is the word of the Lord. You're in your mind, you're thinking, I don't need this. I can cope with this. I can do this. I've been dealing with this for years. I've been doing things my way. You've been cutting God out of the equation. The spirit of pride tries to come and crush your mind and hold you back from the absolute blessing of God. And freedom and liberty in the house of the Lord. When mountains fall, you will stand. Nothing is too hard for God. And I already know, hey, I don't want you to worry about me today. If not one person stands at this altar today, hey, I will not break my heart. But God's heart might be broken for you. My job is to bring the word of God and to channel that through the house of God. But what I do know today is this. I know that several people are struggling. And you are confronted with a massive obstacle today. And what God is saying to you today is this. I am in the house today. I have come to the house today. I've entered in for you. To meet with you. To encounter you. To touch your heart and to see that obstacle, that opposition, that place of resistance come crumbling down before you. And when it hits the ground and when it comes down, you'll remain standing in the place of grace, in the place of mercy, in the place of love. And before you will be a clear blue horizon. Before you will be fresh green grass, because you'll see, yeah, beyond the mountain, because it's no longer there. You'll see into the horizon. You'll see what lies before you. You won't have to climb the mountain to get there. You will walk through the pass that is now prepared there before you, before the Lord. I want you to hear this, because this is important for someone today. You have been stuck on the wrong side of this mountain for so many years, and today God is showing up in this church to minister to your heart, that you would get a breakthrough and freedom in the Holy Ghost like never before. And there's so many other things we could throw in the mixer regarding what your mountain is. But just know this, you are loved by God. You are loved by God. This is not a condemnation message. This is a love message for you, because God, as you push through and as you press into the path where the grass is green and all things are beautiful before you once again, your whole life, your whole aspect, your whole outlook in life will change dramatically, because God has stepped into the equation in a brand new way. So as we worship God today, and there is no pressure on anyone to do anything, but here's what I know. God is faithful. God is faithful. And God is here to meet your needs. And even I'm not even asking people to come, but they're coming. They're saying, I need to be here. I need to be here. I need to be here. If there's something going on here, I need to be here. I need to be before the altar today. And as people come, we're going to come and either kneel with you and pray with you or stand with you and pray with you and bless you. But I would say this to you. Do not let yourself be robbed. The devil will rob, he will kill, he will steal, he will destroy, he will take away from you if you give him the opportunity. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cut off pride right now. All forms of pride, all things that are sticking to people in Jesus' name, we cut them off in the name of Jesus. We pray for the sweet release of the Holy Spirit in this room this morning. We pray for a touch, a change of hearts, a moving of God, a shifting and shaking in the kingdom of God. Lord, we know that without you, we are nothing. With you, all things can be done and all things can be achieved. Even now, pray ministry, come and activate yourself, begin to get around people, just work in their life, pray the blessing of God upon them in Jesus' name. You men, get with the men that are here. You women, come alongside the ladies that are here in Jesus' name. Begin to see things happen in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now for those who are just going to be part and stay, we're going to worship God. The service is not done. We're going to worship God. We're going to lift our hands to heaven. And if you've overcome your mountain, then where you stand today, you lift up holy hands and you give thanks to God that you are moving in a realm right now of freedom and liberty in the Holy Ghost. And we'll just take some time to bless and to pray with those who have come today in Jesus' name. Yes, sir.